Shalom, Chevarim. Baruch haba lechol makshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMishiach B'toch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, a most interesting observation is attributed by the Talmud to Rabbi Simlai. He is recorded to have said, Moses gave Israel 613 commandments. David reduced them to 10. Isaiah to 2, but Habakkuk to 1. The righteous shall live by his faith. That is the end of the quotation. Whatever may be questionable in Rabbi Simlai's observation, at least the great declaration of Israel's divinely inspired prophet Habakkuk is trustworthy. Indeed, Habakkuk's dictum has been accorded greater recognition than the prophet himself, and it is quoted no less than 3 times in the New Testament, and is regarded, as I think rightly, as a divine revelation of a most important spiritual principle. Here are the prophet's words. V'tzadik be'emunato yichye, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The word amunah signifies steadfastness or faithfulness, and we find it used elsewhere in Tanakh of the steadiness of the uplifted hands of Moses. You'll find that in Exodus 17:12, and it's also used of the faithfulness of Israel's God. A better understanding of the prophet's famous words will be obtained if they are read in connection with the 5th verse of the 1st chapter, which reads as follows, Behold, a work shall be wrought in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. You'll find that in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Thus, the basic idea of the principle enunciated by Habakkuk suggests that the upright man accepts and believes the revealed word of God and continues steadfastly in active expectation of the things declared by God, regardless of all outward appearances. In short, God's word is sufficient for him. Faith thus becomes an active principle, not a mere passive acquiescence. But note that the motive for such an active principle is faith flowing from love towards and trust in God. Fortunately, our Jewish scriptures disclose many of Israel's great men possessed of and living in this vigorous principle of faith. And it is refreshing to find an outstanding example of it recorded in that 4th book of Moses, popularly known as Numbers, and from which we are currently excavating many spiritual treasures. I have already mentioned that I call this 4th book of Chumash the book of the revelation of attitudes. And in immediate past messages, we observed how the attitude of doubt, so sadly manifested by that generation of Israel that had been delivered from the Pharaoh of Egypt, resulted in loss of fruit, loss of time, and loss of life. However, with relief and grateful refreshment, we behold two of faith's giants, standing like twin trees, gloriously fruitful in the midst of doubt's dismal desert. The first of these men is recorded in Numbers, chapter 13, verse 6, as Kalev ben Yefune, or as the English language pronounces it, Caleb, the son of Jephune. The second man was Hoshea bin Nun, whose name Moses changed to Yehoshua, better known in the English tongue as Joshua. Among the many, multitudinous majority of that generation who displayed this paralyzing attitude of doubt, these two, Caleb and Joshua, are twin superb examples of the animated attitude of faith. Joshua, who was also known as Yehoshua and Jesus, was the son of Nun of the tribe of Ephraim, and we hear of him first when Moses selected him to lead Israel in battle against the Amalekites at Rephidim. He it was who accompanied Moses part of the way towards the great Mount of the Revelation, Mount Sinai, and he also was the first to greet Moses when he descended from that awful eminence. The name Yehoshua, Joshua, means God's salvation, and this appellation is a fitting one for this so illustrious individual, this staunch believer, who afterwards became the very successor of Moses himself. There is an aura of mystery surrounding Caleb that makes him a most alluring figure. Even the intrinsic meaning of his name lurks in the shadows of partial obscurity and refuses positive expression. The Hebrew Kalev is thought by some to be a word originating in the sound made by the object represented. We do this in modern language, you know, when we say that the aeroplane zoomed overhead, or that the honeybee buzzed around the flowers. If this is the background of the word Kalev, then it implies the sound of a wild dog or other animal pressing onwards to attack its prey. On the other hand, Dr. Julius Fürst rejects this derivation and says the name implies a valiant hero. In other words, it's veiled in obscurity, as I said. That Caleb well deserves the title of a valiant hero, none that know the story will deny. Moreover, as part of the mystery attachable to his background, the thought of something wild, outside the domestic economy, foreign to the fold, is not to be easily divorced from him. It will doubtless come as a real surprise to many of my listeners to know that there is a strong probability, though certainty is admittedly lacking, that Caleb was a foreigner by birth, not belonging to Israel, except in the character of a proselyte incorporated by his faith into the tribe of Judah. Whatever may have been Caleb's birth, whether foreign or Israelitish, his faith, seen both as a verbal acquiescence and as a volatile activity, made him an Israelite indeed, fully equal with Joshua, the Ephraimite, and certainly superior to that vast multitude of that doubting generation who could claim Abraham in no other realm than that of ancestor, for they certainly were the foreigners, utter strangers to the faith of their father Abraham. Caleb and Joshua were two of the spies, you will remember, among the 12 dispatched by Moses to search out and report upon the promised land. And they were the only illustrious ones among the 12. The majority, gripped by doubt and unbelief in the revelation of God, discouraged the multitudes from entry into and possession of God's promised inheritance. The minority, Caleb and Joshua, actuated by faith and strong belief in the revelation of God, encouraged the multitudes to enter and to possess the promised inheritance. For this manifestation of their faith in God, they narrowly escaped stoning at the hands of the multitude, maddened and infuriated by the fears, futilities, frustrations, etc., that inevitably accompany an attitude of unbelief. My friends, this is a sad but sorrowfully consistent characteristic of the human family in its totality. It is usually the minority, the few who hear and believe God's revelation, and, reaching out the hands of faith, possess the good heritage of God. Is that not so? As with the whole human family, so with the nation of Israel, only the remnant respond to God's full revelation, and by faith possess the spiritual inheritance. And in doing so, be it noted, they usually incur the displeasure of the majority. I cannot conclude without drawing attention to what might well be a beautiful typographical illustration presented to us in these two most refreshing characters, Caleb and Joshua. The Tanakh clearly teaches, both in the books of Moses and in the prophets and the writings, that the believing ones among the Gentiles were going to be divinely granted full participation with the believing ones among Israel in God's great spiritual blessings through Messiah and Messiah's atoning sacrifice for humanity. Assuming Caleb to have been really a foreigner by birth, how eloquent to behold him made one by faith with the Israelite Joshua, and to see them both entering together into the promised patrimony of the God of Israel, who is also the God of the universe. My friends, right throughout Israel's long, fruitless, futile, wasteful wandering in the wilderness of the nations, in fickle favors bestowed or in gloomy ghettos incarcerated, there have been the Calebs and the Joshuas who have entered, viewed, and demonstrated to Israel that the fields of faith are fruitful. Ever since it began in the temple at Jerusalem nearly 2,000 years ago, this ringing testimony of Jewish believers has not ceased, even though at times all the congregation bade them stone them with stones. May the congregations of our day be wiser and more willing to believe the minority. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha v'yosem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.